Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and remember all those things I said to you in the previous segment, all those really cool things you can do on my website? Well, guess what? Here's the website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and check out all those really cool things that we work hard to bring you, to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And if you're looking around on them, and as many of you do, you email us and subscribe to the newsletter and say, wow, this is a great site. Thank you for making it available. Well, you don't have to thank me. Thank our corporate partners. They're the ones who help us make it available to you for free. All that good stuff, including the lilting voice and the near genius of Joan Pride, senior editor of the Kiplinger Editors, and she's one of the reasons why you get all this for free, because she joins us, and she hasn't asked for a raise in a long time. Joan, welcome back to the show.
I only quibble with you on one word, and you should know near. You knew near would bother me, didn't you?
Do you think I ever say anything that I don't intend to say?
I think you're making it entirely too easy for your listeners to get to your website.
You are?
You gave them the address.
I know. If they really loved me, they would hunt for it. They'd hunt it down. They'd go to all kinds of trouble just to find me, right?
That's right.
If they really loved me. Well, you know, I tried that once, Joan. You know, have you ever heard of somebody
giving... You found out nobody loved you?
Yeah. Have you ever given a party and nobody came?
Right. Not me, but I guess.
Remember the fourth grade birthday party your mother gave you and none of your friends showed up? That's what happened.
I didn't have one.
I found out that playing coy with the audience is not a good idea. You have to be a little bit crass about it sometimes. But anyway, it's almost subliminal. Joan, we use smallbusinessadvocate.com, and then when you just sort of have to get it out there. whatever message, smallbusinessadvocate.com, that you know whatever it takes to do that. I don't do that as well as the guy on Saturday Night Live. Joan, let's talk about the letter this week. Manufacturing.
Okay.
Do you remember, Joan, when we...
No, I don't remember anything.
Yes, you do.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast. So.
You remember this. Remember when we were talking about the tough times the economy was having in 01, 02, 03, and manufacturing was not in great shape, and employment was not great, and people were calling it a jobless recovery as we started to recover, and we thought that the manufacturing in America was dead, and you and I in those days, I think basically we agreed that what we were probably seeing was a transition period from 20th century jobs and industry to 21st century jobs and industry, and that it just needed some time to get sorted out. Do you remember that?
Oh, just vaguely.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
I'm trying to help you remember. But here's the lead. Expect a mild upswing. I like the mild part.
Well, just one change of the letter can make a big difference in the meaning, can't it?
Expect a mild upswing in manufacturing this year.
Yes.
Now, what do you think?
Well, I think that's pretty good. You don't want it to be too wild, but you want an upswing.
But how about just I wish we hadn't used the word mild. I think mild is such a wishy-washy word.
Well, and to put mild and upswing together, I mean, mild connotes just sort of very slow growth, and upswing you make it sound like it's really going to move.
That's exactly right. That's like taking an upper and a downer at the same time.
Right.
And if I were a druggie, I'd know what term to use, which I obviously don't. But anyway, that's interesting use of words there. But you know, one of the things, Joan, that we reported last hour with Sam Norwood, who reports to us once a month on how the economy is going based on a survey he does of hundreds of professionals across the country, their strongest sector for the last 30 days and projecting the next 60 days is manufacturing.
Really?
Totally.
Wow.
Compatible with what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Factory output, according to Kiplinger, is going to be up. How much, Joan?
Well, factory output is going to be, we're saying between 4% and 5%, and last that compares with last year, which was 3.5%.
So that's good.
So the pace is quickening.
Hey, Joan, that's like, what is that? I mean, that's more than mild. That's like a 20% increase. 20% is not mild.
It's an acceleration, so that's important.
That's
sure.
Exactly right. I think your numbers people and your word people need to get together a little bit better on that. exports are going to be given a lift because of what's happening with the dollar, Joan.
Oh, don't make me talk about the dollar, please. I'm not your dollar expert.
No, you're my currency expert,
Joan. Oh, no.
Joan.
Well, then you must be desperate.
You're as good as we have around here.
Oh, no, for the money, yeah.
But the dollar, the weak dollar is the manufacturing best friend, isn't it?
Right. Yes, because that helps exports. Okay, then
absolutely.
That's all I know about it. That's the extent of my knowledge.
As the dollar goes down, our goods become more valuable.
Yes.
Because they're the other currencies that are now, they can buy more dollars with their currency, and so their dollars go farther. That makes our goods more valuable to them. Just like, you know, just like, Joan, the way for us to think about this is whenever you're traveling to another country, and if when the dollar back, way back, Joan, when the dollar was strong, you could actually, there were times when you could go to Europe and vacation and have a lot more fun cheaper than you could stay home and do it here.
That's right.
Not so much, because against the euro, we're not doing so good with regard to the dollar, the exchange
rate.
But it's good for manufacturing. And Joan, I think that this dollar issue has been good to help the U.S. manufacturing sector get restructured, get reorganized, and reentrenched in the 21st century. What do you think?
Right. Well, especially if it expands their markets and helps them get into overseas markets, yes.
Well, and also, you know, I think in the last 4 or 5 years, American manufacturers have determined, okay, this needs to be made in this country. This needs to be made in another country. These two things need to be assembled in this country or in another country or whatever. But they've determined that you know, you don't have to build every component of something you're manufacturing under the same roof and put it together on the same roof.
Right, right.
And that's all part of the globalization. And Joan, you know who benefits the most from all that?
The consumer?
Bingo.
Oh, I guessed right.
I told you were near genius.
Now that near still bothers.
Don't argue with me about these things, Joan. I know these things. 20 after. Joan Pride is our good friend and our guest. She's and I will be back right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, the virtual genius, Joan Pride, senior editor.
I think that's worse than near. Wait a minute. I don't like that.
And we're talking about how things are going in the economy. Joan, one of the things that you guys point out is that one of the things that's helping the economy, I guess, overall, especially certain sectors, has been the rebuilding of the hurricane sectors. That's right.
And I think we had talked about this when that happened, that as devastating as that was, it in a strange way did present quite a bit of opportunity. And we're saying in materials, furniture, construction, and others. Now, of course, that also, I think, drives up prices, too. So.
Well, there's no question about it. And see, I hear people talking about that. Of course, nobody says, let's have a hurricane and help the economy. Nobody wants that.
Right. Oh,
but
no.
I do hear people saying things like, you know, that the economy actually will do well after this, you know, and all that. But see, rebuilding in a hurricane, the products that are purchased, as you know, Joan, in those areas are not purchased by the public as much as they're paid for by insurance companies.
That's right.
Not that insurance companies have plenty, you know, too much money to spend, but it's not consumers who are spending that money, but it still raises the price of drywall and plywood and 2x4s.
It does.
And concrete. all across the country because of the demand.
Right.
So the opportunity in Florida, the thing that turns into opportunity in Florida is Oregon's nightmare in terms of building, you know, if you're building a house in Oregon or Tennessee or somewhere like that, those prices are going up. And boy, howdy, have prices gone up in the last year, Joan.
They really have.
On construction products, it's really gotten prohibitive, and it'll be interesting. See, I think, Joan, I think that is going to be a bigger hit on the housing industry than just the bubble issue. If you're looking, you know, you and I've talked about the bubble being only localized. I think there are regional bubbles, but not a national bubble. But this higher price for products is a national issue.
Well, that's interesting.
And that will affect not existing houses, but it'll affect new construction.
Right. Sure.
You know, we go through periods where it's cheaper to build than it is to buy, or it's cheaper to buy than it is to build.
Yes.
And I think we're in one of those periods right now where it's cheaper, you're better off to buy one than you are to build one.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how that rolls out. Okay. The Joan, let's move over. And, oh, by the way, the jobs issues. One of the things you guys point out that manufacturing, as good as it's getting, it will only be the jobs increase for manufacturing won't be all that much.
We see a net 35,000 or so, which it really doesn't sound like a whole lot.
That's not very many. When you consider, well, see, Joan, the economy creates that many jobs every 10 days.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I've been doing some research on small businesses, and the small businesses that are being created now are tending to be more sort of cutting-edge sectors and not so much in manufacturing.
Right.
So if we're saying that small businesses are the engine of economic growth, which we say, then that would make sense that the bulk of jobs would not be being created in manufacturing.
But I'm assuming this 35,000 is for 2006.
Right, correct.
And I'm with you. I think that number is shockingly low to me. Even with all the things we've said and that you guys have said, it still seems low to me, right? Because I mean that's
for the whole year.
Yeah, because as I say, the economy is projected to, and last year created that many jobs in 10 days.
Yeah.
So it's kind of surprising to see that. But I wonder, all right, I'll tell you what the deal is. It's the net word. Because see, we're going to be losing a lot of auto manufacturing jobs.
True.
This year, you know, GM and Ford, those guys are going to be cutting like crazy.
Yeah.
They're going to have to.
Oh, sure.
They have no choice. And
that's right.
And so the net issue there, I think, is what's going on. There may be a lot. There's probably a lot more new ones being created. And see, that's still part of the transition, Joan, isn't it? From the 20th to the 21st century.
Yes, absolutely.
Those old companies are going to be cutting back or going away.
It's painful.
It's very painful, and we're still going through it, and it is growing pains. Joan, let's move over and talk about this chart, your forecast chart.
Okay.
Very interesting. What's going to happen with wages this year?
Well, I'm happy about this because I'm a salaried employee, so you better note this in my next paycheck, gaining 3.5% in 2006, so that's a little bit higher rate than last year.
So let's see, Joan, for you, 3.5 times 200,000, what is it, $70,000?
Wow, that sounds great.
That's a big increase on that 200,000.
I wish that were true.
And so 3.5%, Joan, isn't that kind of consistent with the last few years? I mean, that's not any kind of a spike or anything, is it?
Well, I think about maybe 5-6 years ago, it was more like 4%, and I think things had dipped a little bit.
Well, that was back when people were hiring people for jobs that didn't really need to be hired.
Right?
Back in the .com nutty area.
Right. Is that what we're calling it? Is that the technical term?
That's it.
Dot com nutty.
Yeah. What was it that McKay called it? The extraordinary popular delusions and the madness of crowds. That was that was the title of his book. I'm actually looking at it. I don't have a life, so I have those kinds of books in my library. Stand by, Joan. We're going to come right back. We've got a few more of the current forecast to talk about, the pricing that you're going to be looking at in the coming year. And we're going to move over into healthcare. We're going to talk about politics and quite a few other things right after these messages. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. And somebody who always does everything I say is our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Right, Joan?
No, absolutely not. I will not agree to that.
Joan, I hope that you guys, well, of course, you guys don't have to worry about this. You have your own building there in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And I have my own, thank goodness.
I don't know where you're going with this.
But those of you, just stay with me, Joan. I'm the king of segues. Those of you who rent buildings, who rent space, if you have an opportunity to lock in rates, if you're on a short-term situation, or if your lease is renewing maybe in September, and you think you're still going to be there, you might want to go ahead and think about locking some rates in, because Joe Kiplinger has some things to say about that. Joan, go ahead.
Now I see where you're going, yes. Well, we're saying office rents are going up quite a bit, so I guess the available office space, we think, is declining. Now, the
6%.
Problem with that is we're saying 6%. That's got to vary from region to region, just the way residential...
It depends. It depends upon the inventory availability.
Right.
No question about that. But still, overall, up 6%. And so I think probably what you ought to do, maybe would be a good thing to do, Joan, would be to drive around and just see what the occupancy is. See what, you know, maybe talk to a realtor, a commercial realtor, and say, you know, what is the occupancy? And if they say, you know what, we're having trouble finding office space, well, there may be somebody who is coveting your space.
Right. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And who would make your landlord a better offer than you? Or maybe he or she's got people saying, you know what, I'll give you $3,000 for that space, and they're looking around saying, okay, who's renewing in the next 6 months or 3 months or whatever? And you may have some people looking down your neck there, and
right.
And so that doesn't mean you're going to get kicked out. It just may mean you're going to get an increase coming at you. So if you can head that off by locking something in, it might be a good idea. Just something to think about. Just a little word to the wise. Trucking costs, Joan, are going to go up, and there's no big surprise here, right?
Well, no, not at all. And we're saying 6.6% increases figure on. And you have to figure that just because of the situation with gasoline prices and diesel prices.
Right, right. Well, see, what a lot of rates, of course, trucking prices have already gone up. But this is going to be, I'm not sure that they've been able, a lot of contracts have pass-through clauses. Right, Joan? If I've got customers that I'm delivering to, you know, I've probably got a clause in there that says when fuel goes up above a certain amount that I'm going to charge you an extra nickel, you know, or whatever here and there, and I'm going to recover some of that. I've talked to some of my friends who are in that business, and they tell me that they're protected to some degree with their contract for higher fuel prices, but maybe not completely. And so as these contracts renew, then, you know, they're going to be sticking some extra stuff in there.
Right. And then, as you point out, it sort of also depends on where you are in these contracts, if you're coming up for renewal now or you still have some breathing room.
And Joan, not just gas prices, but not just fuel prices, but also insurance.
Ooh, now there's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insurance prices. If you look at it, Joan, if you go back, and you guys have, if you look at the price of insurance, it's as breathtaking as the price of fuel is over the last couple of years.
Ooh.
Isn't it? I mean, liability
right.
has just gone through the roof.
Yes.
And the reason, Joan, is because of two things: terrorism.
Yes.
And the threat of terrorism, and the weather.
Yes.
These I'll never forget,
man-made
Joan.
Man-made and natural disasters.
I'll never forget the comment that what's his name, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett, said. He made this comment right after 9/11, I'm like within 6 months after 9/11, he said, we have not been charging enough for our insurance. Now, that's paraphrasing what he said. And when I heard him say that, I said, of course, as you know, he has major stakes in insurance companies. He's a major player in the insurance industry. And I said, okay, boys, gird your loins, button down the hatches.
Yeah.
It's going to get rough. And it has, I think.
Well, I mean, think about how 9/11 turned the way you view insurance on its head. I remember talking to insurers at that time. You know, you used to take a bunch of people in an office and figure, well, that's not a huge liability.
Right.
But after 9/11, it certainly was.
And one of the big, I mean, if you want to see something dramatic, go out and try to buy a liability umbrella nowadays. It used to be peanuts. Now it's a big expense. And maybe for some people, even prohibitive. Quick break. We got a lot more to come after these messages with our good friend, Joan Pride. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and they have some outstanding publications that I am always happy to tell you about. Their lead product is the Kiplinger Letter. That's the weekly flagship document that they've been putting out since 1923. You can get it electronically or by mail, right, Joan?
Absolutely.
Snail mail or by email.
Quick or slow, either way.
They like the email method because it costs less to send it, and you can get all these links with it too, can't you? If you get it by email.
Oh yes, that's the best part.
Yeah, you get right into the forecast section.
Lots of extra content.
The members only forecast section.
Right.
And then they have the three biweekly letters: the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter.
Yep.
And if you go to newsstands, or you can order it just like a subscription, they got that magazine thing.
That magazine is Kiplinger's Personal Finance.
And what about a phone number?
Oh, right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And you can subscribe by calling. You can subscribe online. But either way, if you're nice to them and you tell them that I sent you and you are a breathing human being, either one of those three, they'll give you a 30-day free trial.
And if they hang up after you mention Jim's name, call back again
only,
and just don't talk about
it. Only mention
Jim.
My name online. Don't mention my name over the air. But check that out, folks. Kiplinger's outstanding publications, and I've been reading them for a long time. Joan, let's move down and talk about it. I want to talk about electricity for a minute. You guys say electricity rates are going up. And this has, I would assume this has to do with natural gas.
I would think so, too. We're saying up 6%, which is a bit more than last year. And I would think that has to be attributed to natural gas.
Because some electricity, I believe, in around the country is made. They use coal. They have the ability to make it with coal and or natural gas,
right.
I think.
If you say so, I'll believe
that. I'm not sure about it. I think that's the case. But also, here's the other thing, Joan. Think about this. If natural, you know, electricity competes with natural gas, right?
Right.
The utilities, you know, they may not all be in the natural gas business as well. And so, you know, they promote that product very heavily. So if natural gas is going up, then maybe they can raise their rates a little bit.
I see.
See what it means? And still be competitive. So look for that, folks. It's the point is things are getting more expensive, right, Joan?
Boy, no question. Wonder what that will mean for inflation down the road.
But PCs, desktop PCs. Now, I'm assuming when you say desktop PCs, you absolutely mean the kind that sit on desks, and not just you're excluding laptops here.
I'm assuming, nothing. I'm assuming we are excluding anything that's portable.
Right, right. And there are two reasons for the reason why those prices are going down. Right. You know what those two reasons are, right?
Competition. I don't know.
Well, that's part of it. The technology is getting cheaper.
Right.
But for desktops,
and then people want laptops now.
Bingo.
I would think that's the big thing.
You've lurched uncontrollably to the truth, Joan.
Right.
So that's exactly what it is. Listen,
as a near genius, that often happens.
We have four laptops in this office, and three of them work as the replacement to a desktop. In other words, they're in a what we call it a a device that allows you to hook everything else up to it.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so we pop them right out and take them with us.
That's great.
And so that's the new technology. So that's something to think about, folks. But the point is if you have, Joan, if you have a situation where you can live with a desktop, if desktop works, and we have a couple of those cases here, it's a good time to buy a PC.
Oh, I see.
See? Yeah. So congratulations, yeah. Consumers. Or if you're at home, you know, you're never going to move it around. You're always going to leave it there. This is a great time to buy a PC. The prices are coming down.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move over and talk about health care.
Okay.
HSAs, health savings accounts, are really growing, aren't they? What's the news there?
Well, what we're saying is that, our point is banks and brokerage firms and mutual funds that would be handling these things really have a great opportunity here, because we expect really strong growth in the creation of health savings accounts.
You know, Joan, HSAs... we're going to look back. You and I are going to look back in the future as we, you know, when you and I are doing this show 20 years from now, we're still doing it.
Excuse me?
We're going to look back and we're going to say HSAs was one of the best devices. You know, a lot of people think Social Security was one of the best things the government did in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to look back and see that HSAs was one of the best things the government did in the 21st century.
Especially for, say, the Generation X group, mm-hmm. and those behind them.
Well, and for businesses.
Right.
It's a wonderful tool. It spreads the obligation for health care across everybody, and the employer and the employee.
Right.
We all become, as we've said before, Joan, we become more health care consumers and less just health care patients.
That's right.
And a little more self-insurance, so it's a good thing. And I'm glad to see the growth, and I'm glad you guys are reporting on the growth. Joan, let's move over and talk a little bit about politics. The shine is a little bit off the political profession right now, isn't it?
Oh, boy, no question about it. You know, we've got the latest... lobbying scandal, as you know, going on in Washington.
Abramoff.
And I guess the main question is, one of the main questions at this point is, who will be the Republicans leading the House in the next year? And there's kind
right.
of a scramble for most of the top jobs.
Three guys, right?
And three guys, and there could be more pretty soon. It's possible.
Really?
Well, there seems to be rumblings about more people wanting to get in on this race.
What I'm seeing, Joan, is it looks like it's pretty heavy on the Republicans right now. But, you know, I think it's probably going to be pretty much an equal opportunity type of situation for both parties by the time everything is known.
I think so.
Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. The newsletter comes on Sunday by email. The blog comes Monday through Friday by Real Simple Syndication. And we'll help you get the technology. It's free, by the way. We'll help you get that technology right there on the blog page at our website. And by the way, Joan, remember when I was talking about putting my laptop into a device that would hook up to my monitor and all that sort of thing?
Uh-huh.
It's called a docking station. My crack team has IM'd me.
Wow.
That's what that is.
IM means instant messaging.
Yeah. I got people all over the world, you know, and this crack team we have here, and they're listening
wow.
to every word to make sure that I, you know, say everything. And the one time when I don't remember something, they make sure that I get that straightened out. Anyway, it's called a docking station, folks. And by the way, those things are handy as a pocket on a shirt. They really are. Jonas, we were talking about politics, and, you know, it's a sad thing, Joan, that we've come to this in politics. It's a sad thing that we've got this in the 21st century, that we've got what appears to be some really blatant influence peddling. I mean, like the Cunningham thing is just going to be, and maybe a couple of others that are going to come to light, are just, and probably the worst ones are probably ones we don't even know about yet, Joan. And it's sad that we've come to this, but in some ways, maybe, you know, every once in a while you have to have a kind of a you have to have something like this just to remind people that you can't get away with stuff like this, like the corporate malfeasance stuff.
Right. Remember, well, that led to Sarbanes-Oxley, right?
Right. Which was an overreaction, and I'm concerned in a way that there may be an overreaction to this issue.
Well,
and it's sad that we. But you know
you
what,
mean
Joe?
In terms of legislation passed,
yeah.
or
yeah.
well,
no.
we're at this point we're saying that probably won't be the case. That there won't be overreaction, but it remains to be seen if the Republicans and maybe even the Democrats as well start being frightened about the possible outcomes in the 2006 elections, you could see a tougher response.
That's exactly right, and the polls show that people are not too happy with politicians these days.
No, and that kind of dovetails with some of the unhappiness and unrest over Medicare Part D, which is the new prescription drug program.
Right.
And, you know, rightly or wrongly, whether they are being irrational about it or not, people are upset and claim that it's confusing and they're worried about it.
Well, it is confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Medicare Part D is confusing, and
but there's also been some snafus starting out, which are upsetting people, too. So I don't want to get too far off point here, but, you know, you kind of have the possibility, at least, for kind of a perfect storm in terms of voter discontent, depending on how things play out this year.
And by the way, you brought up Medicare Part D. That's the RX plan, too. That's the same thing, right?
That's what I mean. I should just call it the new Medicare prescription drug program.
That's what it is. That's what we all know it as. And they were hoping people would sign up by the end of the year. They've actually got a grace period to the middle of
May something, right?
And you guys say maybe don't count on it, and you won't know until the last minute. But they may extend that beyond that.
Yeah, but if I were you and you were not sure whether to sign up, I would ignore, you know, thoughts of that, because if they don't extend it, then, I mean, it's not that you're shut out of the program if you don't make the deadline, but there are penalties if you don't make the deadline, and your premium goes up, and you don't want that to happen.
That's right, but it's still confusing, Joan.
Yes. And remember, you could sign up for something and switch.
That's right. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, in the minute we got left, let's talk about how all this is going to take a toll on legislation this year. This also being an election year, what are the bills that you think will actually have a chance of making it this year?
One of the best bets is a tax bill. Not a big, huge tax reform that the president had wanted, but we're saying, you know, a Band-Aid that will keep the alternative minimum tax from hitting too many people in the middle class, and some extensions of tax credits. But I know the big one that people want, I think, is going to have to wait, and that's, I'm referring to the extension of the reduced tax rates on capital gains and dividends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to quit getting those Band-Aids out, and they need to go ahead and do the surgery. You know, Joan, this Band-Aid stuff is not very appealing. And you're going to be so happy to know that we're out of time before we get to minimum wage, and I won't be able to get on my soapbox today.
Oh, I'll hear it off the air. Here we go.
We'll have to talk about it next week, though. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.